It is good that you and I can come together. It is good that you and I can come and sing about the Lord, hear about the Lord, and know that God is with us. And so I want to share with you today, we had a tragic loss to a person that truly loved the Lord, that contended with the faith, and was dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that was Charlie Kirk. If you don't know him, look him up on a lot of his podcasts and a lot of his videos. They are circling now like ever before, and he was known around the world, and he was a martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was assassinated in Utah at the university, and contending for the faith, standing for what is right. A lot of people had followed him. I think he had maybe over 5 million followers on social media. It was a network that of just a lot of stuff that Charlie was involved in for a good cause and for the right. And, you know, in a world which we live in, this world now, there is a lot of evil that is going on more than ever before. And it's at hand and it's on every side. And I feel like us as believers, as time goes on, I believe that there will be more persecution that will continue on as we contend for the faith. Because we've got an enemy that does not want the truth to be spoken, does not want us talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And this should cause us to realize that we need to continue with for the faith. We need to have a strong voice on the Lord Jesus Christ. Continue to share the good news. Continue to share the gospel, letting people know about the Lord Jesus Christ. And now it's not time for us to back down, but it is time for us to be strong in our faith and continue to fight the good fight of faith and to know that Jesus is with us every step of the way and that our Lord and Savior finds honor in us when we contend for the faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and sharing with one another. And so today, let us continue to remember his wife and their two children and continue to remember his family. I cannot imagine what that is like, but we must continue to keep that family in prayer. As we know, as other things that are going on in the United States and around the world, we've got to continue to keep each and every one in prayer as well. If you have your Bibles here today, I'd like for you to hold them up. That's the sword of the Spirit, and we're going to continue on looking at Rooted and Rising. Rooted and Rising. We're at series sermon number 5, Rooted and Rising series, sermon number 5. And we want to look today, as my title will be, Grow Through Battles, Part 1. Grow Through Battles, Part 1. And so there's going to be a Part 1 and a Part 2, but we're going to look at Part 1. And as we were talking in the last few Sundays, we talked about growth and development and how that we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a babe in Christ, young, and as we accept Jesus into our hearts and lives, then we continue to grow in grace. We continue to grow in knowledge. That's very important. Knowledge is very important. And so that we can continue to be what Jesus Christ has called you and I to be. And so with that, as we will look here, Grow Through the Battles, Part 1, we want to look at the book of Ephesians, the New Testament, 6th chapter, beginning with the 10th verse. Ephesians 6 and 10. And let's look at this as time will permit here. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Can I hear an amen to God's Word? Here the Apostle Paul is sharing with us today. As he was speaking at a church, and as he is sharing with us, he is letting us to know, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I was looking over this week when I saw and heard of Charlie Kirk as he passed away, and there's video of the actual shooting that took place and all that they were trying to do to save this man's life. And there was over 3,000 people at the University of Utah, and there they were to hear him speak. And Charlie is talking, and all kinds of questions are, people are coming up and they're questioning him about certain different things, if it's political, if it's spiritual, it's whatever it is. And Charlie's saying, come on up, you know, I want to share with you, I want to speak with you. And through all of this, he did not realize that someone there was going to take him out. He did not realize that that was going to be the day on September the 10th. He did not realize that that was going to be his last moment. But yet he contended for the faith. And the Bible says clearly that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, even though the shot came physically, but what was behind the shot was evil. What was behind the shot was demonic. What was behind the shot was evilness that was taking place even inside that guy's body for him to pull the trigger and for him to take out the voice of God, because he carried the voice of God everywhere he went, because he was a true believer in Jesus Christ. I had seen video footage of people asking him, you know, why are you serving Jesus? What about this Jesus? And he began to explain about Jesus and what Jesus had done in his life. And therefore, Jesus has asked us to go. He's asked us to witness. He's asked us to share the good news. And he said, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, is because Jesus has asked us to do it. He's commanded us to do it. And so without Charlie flinching one bit, he contended for the faith. And he put on the whole armor of God so that he could withstand the enemy and withstand the darkness. For he knew he couldn't do it within himself, but he knew that Jesus had the power and the strength within him to give him what he needed as he began to put on the whole armor of God. Folks, we cannot afford to put half the armor on, some of the armor on, a little bit of the armor on, or put the armor on when we get to church and take it off when we leave. We've got to keep the whole armor of God on us 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year. We've got to keep Jesus in our hearts so that you and I can contend for the faith in Christ Jesus. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Praying, as the Apostle Paul says, praying always. Prayer always. Letting the Holy Spirit to guide you, to direct you, to lead you. And have perseverance. Yes, I use Charlie as an example today because he was persecuted. Yes, they hated him. He was a hated guy. We're going to be hated when we stand for the truth. You're going to be hated because you love Jesus. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. And so we can't be friends with evil. We've got to call it as it is and know that Jesus Christ is standing for us in the gap, and that Jesus will give us the power and the strength. I can just imagine when Charlie went down with that one bullet, that Jesus was right there to grab him, and there he was to go right into the arms of Jesus. And I'm sure he might have met Stephen, that was a martyr for the gospel. I'm sure things begin to look good on the other side for him, because it's a win-win situation. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and to know that God is with us every step of the way. God is not a God of fear, but God is a God of sound mind. God is a God that understands you and I, and he understands what you and I are going through day by day. You see, that wasn't a surprise. That was a surprise to us, but wasn't a surprise to God. God knew that was going to be his day. God knew that he was going to give his life on September the 10th to say, this is it. Thy good and faithful servant, enter into heaven. That's exactly what he did, because he was faithful to the very end. You see, the Christian life is one of the constant conflicts that takes place. This is a discouraging to some, yet had hope to move on to heaven with ease. And yet we are locked in conflict with the world. We're locked in conflict with the flesh. We're locked in conflict with the devil that we deal with, Satan, Lucifer, Beelzebub. All of these words describe who he is. A spiritual battle is raging all through the believer's life because the flesh and the spirit is wrestling with one another. It is one way, it's another way, it's one way, it's another way. And until we leave this life, we will contend for the faith and know that the evil is there and the spirit is there, and they're at wrestling with one of another. I want you to know today that this can be discouraging, but it's not within your power. It is not within your intellect. It is not within your knowledge, because when we put on the whole armor of God, it's not your armor. It's God's armor that's going on you. It is God that's going before you. David said, "The battle is yours, Lord. The battle is not mine." They tried to put, hallelujah, they tried to put an armor on David as he was a little lad, as he was, but the armor was too heavy, but his armor was God Almighty. And he says, "I will defeat that giant, but it won't be what I have on, but it'll be what is inside me that will bring the giant down." And today, that's how we're going to bring the giant down in our hearts and life. It's not going to be so much of what's on us, but it's what's in us, because we've got to put on what God says put on, so that you and I, we can withstand the enemy. When the enemy comes our way, there is a way of an escape, that God will continue to keep his hand upon you and I as we fight the good fight of faith. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yet we see the struggle with Satan. We see the battle against demonic powers. We see this conflict can be won of victory after victory. Why? Because it's not what's happening on what you can do within your ability, but it's what's inside of you that brings victory out of you. Let me say it again. It's what's inside of you that brings victory out of you. If Jesus Christ is in your heart and in your life, therefore you can stand on the promise. You can stand and know that victory lies within your heart, and you can withstand the enemy when it wars against your soul, against your family, against your circumstance, against your situation. There is victory on top of victory in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen, I want you to know the victory of Christ is at the cross. At the cross. That's why you've heard me say, look to the cross. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Don't look at how people are acting, what they're saying, what they're doing. Look to the cross. Keep your eyes focused at the cross and say, "Lord, I fully surrender to your lordship. Lord, I fully surrender to you, Lord." Looking to the cross is an absolute of saying, "Lord, I fully surrender to you," because everything must come to the foot of the cross. You and I must go to the foot of the cross, because we know that all sin, all iniquity, all things have been placed on the cross over 2,000 years ago. It was nailed to a tree. Therefore, you and I have victory on top of victory, that we will win this race. My first point today is this: the girdle of truth. Now, we're going to be looking at all of this on the armor of God. And I want to look at this at one, the girdle of truth. The girdle of truth. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We live in a society that I have said, and you've heard me say, that there are color-coded lies. There is a white lie, there is a blue lie, there's a red lie, there's a yellow lie, And we live in a society that these lies are levels, and one lie is greater than the other. So we've all color-coded a lie. But folks, a lie is a lie. If Johnny steals 25 cents from Susie Q because she couldn't get a carton of milk, and he says, "No, I didn't," that's a lie. And so what we need to do today, which in a world in which we live, we got to call it as it is. And we're living in a society where we're not calling it as is. And that's why we're here as we talk today, is because it's like what's bad is good and what's good is bad. You know, and that's the world which we live, and we've got to call it as it is. So what does the Word say? The Word tells us to gird up the truth of the matter, to be honest with ourselves. That's why Dr. Phil said many years ago, he said, when you're thinking about things and it's not quite right, that's called stinking thinking, because you're not thinking right. And so what we need to understand in the Word of God is that we've got to gird up the truth. We have to call it as it is. Black is black. White is white. Heaven is sweet. Hell is hot. We've got to know the difference when we're looking at the truth. So before we can put on the whole armor of God and before we begin the process to stay protected, we need to understand the truth. And as we look at the truth, Satan is called the father of lies. We've got to call him out for what he is. He is the father of lies. He's created lies. That's the master, craft master of lies is Satan. John 8:44 of the gospel. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. It's talking about Satan, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. We have to realize where the source is coming from the lies. It's not so much coming from the father, the mother, your neighbor, your friend. It's coming from Satan himself, because he's the father of distraction. He's the father to make everything look okay. He's the father. It's all right. Go ahead and lie. Put your color codes on your lies. Go ahead and do this. Go ahead and do that. Why? Because he is the mastermind, the father of it. So we have to understand, where does it come from? It comes from Satan, from the pits of hell. The girdle of truth to oppose him. The girdle to keep flowing of the robes from tangling. This is in Israel on the first Passover of the night. They had flowing robes to keep it from being tangled. Exodus 12:11. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. God is saying, be prepared, be ready, so you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Understand that preparation has to take place as you gird up your mind. The Apostle Paul says, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. That has to start right there by your mind. Garbage goes in, is garbage, it goes out. Good things come in, good things come out. You've got to gird up your mind, and you have to understand the truth must flow through the Lord Jesus Christ. Truthful. to be true. Dishonesty will trip us up. No one has a good enough a memory to be a successful liar. Let me say it again. No one has a good enough memory to be a successful liar. If you lie, it takes another lie to keep that lie up. And if you lie with that lie, you got to keep up with another lie. And to the point where you can't keep things up because you're lying so much that as you lie, you believe that the lying really becomes truth. And if you hear it enough of someone lying, you're going to say, oh yeah, that is true. And it's not. Because guess what? The enemy is the father of lies. Satan is the father of lies. His demon powers and what he has and what he is doing is trying to devour the society and going on the wrong way to where he becomes very deceitful and he will literally do deceitful things and deceive you as well. Listen, no one has a good enough memory to be a successful liar. Truthful about ourselves in dealing with sin. 1 John 1 and 7 says this, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, if we walk in the light as he is in the light. You can't walk in the light unless he's in the light. You can't walk in the light unless God's in the light. God is in the light. So we're to walk in light. We're to walk not in darkness. The enemy is wanting us to walk in darkness because he's the father of lies. He wants to keep you in the dark. He wants the lights to stay out on your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to stamp you out and stay far from God. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. As we walk in the light, as he is in the light, and if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Because this is very important in the 9th verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we will admit that we cannot do this on our own, that we need God's help, that we confess unto him. That's what's wrong with the society today. We're not admitting, we're not confessing, we're not saying I'm wrong, because we live in a society that everybody is saying that everybody's right and other people are wrong. And we need to understand that we've got to take inventory in our heart and in our life and say, Lord, let me confess my sins to you, God. Things that are hidden, that's not hidden from you, that I think is hidden, it's not hidden from you. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, God, to save us from our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, we go back to the cross, and the cross sustains us. The nature and the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ is resurrected in our hearts and life, because now we become righteous because Jesus Christ is the righteous living Savior in our hearts and in our lives. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. He is faithful and just. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, being truthful with God. Now you may be trying to hide from God. You might be doing something you shouldn't be doing. And you may say, well, nobody knows. But let me reassure you in this one. God knows. You might be hiding it from your family, your friends, your pastor. But you're not hiding it from God. Because everything is open, folks. God knows us. God knows your thoughts before you begin to think. He knows how many hairs is on your head. And you may say, well, I'm bald headed. Well, under them follicles and under that skin that you've got, there's some hair follicles that are not coming out. He knows how many those are. So whether you're bald or not, He still knows that there's hair under that skin and on that skull. So that's how much God knows you and I. He says, your ways are not His ways. Your thoughts are not His thoughts. That's it. God is unsearchable. How unsearchable are His ways? They are far past finding, is what God's Word says. You can't even begin to understand. But here's what we can see. We can see the love of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. We see the love of God because He took His one and only Son to the cross and to die on the cross for our sins, that we may know Him and make Him known. Listen, Psalms 51 and 9. David said, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Hide your face from my sins. David had enough sense to know that Nathan the prophet came in and said, look at what you've done, David. You're a murderer. You're an adulterer. You're all of this. Yet you're after God's own eye. You're the apple of His eye, but yet you're the man, David. You're the man that you have been king of Israel. You have been king in it. You have been all these great and mighty things. But David, you're the man. You're the man that God loves so much. But now, look at this. Look at you. Look what's happened. And the Bible said that David began to cry out and realize that all he had said, all that he had done, everything that he had done, he said, God, have mercy upon me. That's when he said, Lord, hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities. In other words, he came back to the Heavenly Father. He came back to the Heavenly Father. Second, the breastplate of righteousness. We are not saved by our righteousness. Once converted, it is God's purpose to produce His righteousness in us. God produces His righteousness in you. You don't create righteousness. You don't become righteous. God is working on you. We are under construction. He produces righteousness in us. The righteousness of Christ is ours through faith. His righteousness shows through us. This is the breastplate of righteousness. His righteousness shows through us. Both of these are needed. I need to have Christ and His righteousness. Others need to see Christ and the righteousness in me. Not only are we to receive righteousness through the Lord Jesus Christ, but as we receive it, then we need God to help us show the righteousness to others. This is both positional and this is practical. Let me say it again. This is both positional and it's practical. We've got to receive the righteousness and we've got to show the righteousness and practice it. Do right and right things will follow. Do wrong, wrong things will follow. We cannot do wrong and expect spiritual victory. Listen, if we just sin because we're sinning and we realize that we're doing that and we continue on and continue on, the Apostle Paul says you can't abuse the grace of God. If you've done wrong and you know you've done wrong, repent. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, Lord Jesus, help me today. Lord, I repent of my sin. I confess to you that I have done wrong. Then you don't continue on in it. You move on. And you say, Lord, give me grace and help me for another day. Third, the preparation of the gospel of peace. Not only do you have the breastplate of righteousness, not only do you gird up the truth, but you have the preparation of the gospel of peace. What is the gospel? When did you hear it first? The preparation of the gospel of peace. Being able to share the gospel with others. That's what Charlie Kirk did. He was able to share his faith. He was able to share the gospel with others. And like he said not long ago, everybody's not called to do what Charlie was doing. Under political debates, under conservative as he was of debates, letting people know about America and how good America is. He was not the kind that everybody could just debate in Bible, but that's what he did. But he wanted people to know the gospel. He wanted people to know the good news. And he said, yeah, everybody's not called to do what he did. But he says, whatever you do for the Lord, do it as a servant. Do it as a disciple. Do what you do best for the Lord Jesus Christ. And do it with all umph degree. The preparation of the gospel of peace. The preparation. Why is it called the gospel of peace? Romans 5:1, the Apostle Paul writes this, and I'm coming into my closing. Therefore, having been justified by faith, when you accept Jesus Christ in your heart and life, you are now being justified by faith. It is a faith walk with God. It's not for us to be intellectual. It's not for us to be all of this and that and the other. It is coming to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith because you believe by faith. Therefore, having been justified by faith, when we're justified by faith, we now have peace with God. We don't have chaos. Because by faith we are justified in Christ. Therefore, we don't have chaos. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we have peace today. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. God saw His Son over 2,000 years ago that died, bled, and died on the cross. His sins was placed on the cross when He knew no sin. Sin was placed on the cross. God saw His Son and therefore justifies you and I. And therefore we have peace with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because He was crucified, bled and died, arose on the third day, seated with the right hand of the Father. And therefore you and I have power. We have victory, and we can live in a society with the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ because we stand with Jesus and Him alone, and He will be the sustainer under our hearts and our lives. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. We are justified because now we have peace with God. Our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the feet has shod with the gospel of peace, moving out to others with the gospel. With the gospel, the best defense is a good offense. Let me say it again. The best defense is a good offense. As long as we are standing still, we are easy targets. But if we're still moving in victory with Christ Jesus, and we're not idle, and we're not just sitting, but we're moving and we're contending for the faith, God will continue to stand with us, and you will not stand alone. take the gospel to others and experience victory in your own life. Take the gospel to others and experience victory. Because of Charlie's death, it should make all of us be stronger in our faith. It should not make us weaker. It should make us stronger. And you're saying, "Oh, Pastor, maybe you're exalting Charlie a little bit more than you are Jesus." No, I'm not exalting him more than Jesus. I'm just letting you know he contended for the faith. He's a martyr of the faith. He stood for what was right. He stood for the Word of God. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Therefore, it should let us know that we must contend for the faith and stand for the truth and not let the devil rock us to sleep. Because that's what the enemy is trying to do. He's trying to rock you to sleep. He wants you to be asleep because he doesn't want you to be fervent. He doesn't want you to be bold. He doesn't want you to be strong in your faith. He doesn't want you to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, he doesn't want you to read your Bible, pray, or communicate with him.